Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go, back on a Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, 7/23/2020, and having an interesting discussion this morning about what will be known as Ohio State Mask Mandate Day as of 6 p.m. tonight. Now, we did the whole mandate in hour number one. We read it from top to bottom. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to call. I'll answer your questions. It's only one page. It's not all that complicated. And there are exemptions that I think people have to take into account for. We've heard some opinions in hour number one, and if you want to give your opinion on this or anything else, give us a call. That's why we're here, to inform and to educate. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and I'll put you up on the air. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling in. So if you've been holding your tongue, wanting to get in on the conversation, now would be the time to do it. Call in, 740-383-9944. Now, where are we here? We did the mask mandate in hour number one. Okay. Well, baseball, we are here in the midst now of what is going to be a very interesting baseball season. Now, somebody this morning posted on my Facebook that today is the official opening day for baseball, but I do know games were played yesterday, and by the way, I did check this morning. The Cubs did win yesterday, and I believe the Reds won as well. So the Cubs and the Reds, my two favorite teams, did win yesterday, and it is in that order. Cubs number one, Reds number two. They both scored a win yesterday. Now, this might be the official opening day, July 23rd, but games have started to be played. It's really kind of fascinating. I guess it would be considered preseason. It's kind of fascinating how this whole baseball thing is going on. No fans. Who? You know, I think all this tape that's being run and all these things that are being videotaped and people wearing masks and players on the field and that whole thing, when we look back on that 50 years from now or 100 years from now, our ancestors, they're going to say, what in the world was going on during that time? Now, is there going to be a World Series this year? I haven't even heard anything. I don't know if there can be. The World Series usually happens in the beginning of November. The playoffs start in October. And if we're not starting the season till late July, I'm not exactly sure how that would happen. You know, I haven't read up too much on this. I think I was so dismayed when baseball got pushed from its normal start time in the spring that it's kind of been very anticlimactic for me, this whole baseball thing. I mean, I'm excited that they're playing again. I'm excited that they're doing what they're doing, and I'm sure I will watch. And maybe it will get me involved in some way, but at this point, the way the rules have been changed and the way the configuration of who can play who has been changed, it kind of takes the idea out of a World Series and out of a playoff run, because you're not playing all the teams that you normally would. So I think now people are just playing to play, and I think they're, you know, there are some things that are going to go on in the second half of this year, which we are into now, that people are not thinking about. If we don't get this taken care of, this pandemic is going to loom over a lot of big events in the second half of 2017, like New Year's Eve in Times Square. That certainly would be one. You would also have to say Christmas and Christmas Eve services and shopping in general. I mean, maybe this would push everybody all the way to Amazon, finally, as far as shopping goes. And will you be able to get together with your elderly parents, your elderly grandparents? Will you be able to travel? Will travel bans still be in place? Christmas programs at school, Christmas programs other places. Will Santa still be able to ring the bell on every corner? Will the Salvation Army people be allowed to go out and ring the bell? Thanksgiving, you know, a lot of Thanksgiving dinners happen in churches now. Free dinners to people who don't normally get Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know what the final shakeout to this is all going to be. But I know, you know, for it to start in March, to be honest, there's not a whole lot going on in March and April and May. Really not. I mean, we have cookouts, we have things like that. But there's nothing of gigantic proportion in which we get together like we do in the second half of the year. What's Halloween? What would Halloween be like? You know, so many of these groups have now went to trunk or treats, where they do them at churches and stores and things like that. I mean, is that going to be allowed at this point? Would that be something that would be doable? I guess you probably could, but you'd have to keep your distance. You might have to wear a mask. I don't know what the change will be. I do know the stores have stayed busy. Now, that's one of the interesting sidebars to this whole thing. We talk about Amazon and the whole bit, but it certainly has helped retail, I would say that. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. I haven't talked to you on the air for a while, so I figured I would do.
Oh, go right ahead.
Well, this is going to be overly controversial. Just kind of a question. Now that Roger Stone is out of jail, can we have him on the show? He's a really good guest. I mean, from an intellectual level, I mean, the perspective he'd have, I think he'd be fascinating. So can you try to put a pitch in, give him a call and get him on the air, please?
Well, it's a possibility. You know, the only thing with Roger Stone right now is that the last time he was on the show, which I think was in late 2018.
Yeah, it was fairly recent.
Yeah, it was late 2018, I think, before all his legal troubles started. I do know that he was getting awful sensitive, which was interesting, and maybe he was under pressure from his lawyers and things like that. And I know, because he'd been on a ton before that, and he did not mind a tough question. But what was shocking to me, you know, for a guy who had written books, you know, and I have all his books, and he came on and usually described all his books. For basically a guy who wrote a book saying that LBJ killed the president and saying what an awful guy LBJ was, for a guy who wrote a book and called the Bushes a crime family, for a guy who wrote a book and talked about Bill and Hillary Clinton and all their wrongdoings and things of that nature, you know, he's very sensitive to talk about his own picadillos in life. He doesn't like when people question him on his... He's okay to talk about other people's and say what bad people they are, but he's really sensitive about himself. And I remember that last interview because it was all about him and the mounting legal trouble that could be facing him. And I remember, if I remember right, I don't think he was particularly happy being asked those questions. Now, we're still friendly, but I think he's still very touchy because I think this last weekend he went on some show and I believe used a racial slur because he didn't like the question.
Yeah, I mean, just ask him. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He's very smart. You know, you probably heard the professor and I talked about this, talked about his tattoo, which was a little lighter.
So.
Yeah, just a lighter touch.
I don't like
to see his tattoos. I figured I would just kind of take him swimming so I could get a photo of it. I bet I could get a few dollars for that photo.
You know, but see, here's the thing. I don't know, and I can't say, I don't know if he does tell it like it is, and he is up front. See, that's the thing. I think he tells it like it is, and he's up front about other people. I think he doesn't have a problem talking about the Clintons or the Bushes or LBJ. But it seems to me like when it's about himself, He does not like that. He doesn't want to be questioned, and he...
Yeah, my mom would call that, you can dish it in, but you can't dish it out.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not...
I mean, he's so intelligent. I mean the stories he would have, and just in the, you know, AC, what I call after COVID, or maybe DC during COVID, what's it like being in prison?
I don't think he ever went to prison. I think he got convicted, but he was about to go to prison, but I don't think he ever...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I thought he was, but maybe not. Well, you could have Martha Stewart on, you know, BC, what it was like. Or, I don't think you'd ever talk to her. She'd be a good guest.
What do you make in general, and, you know, obviously Roger Stone would be for it, but what do you make of the commutation of his sentence, that it was wiped out?
It's a touchy matter, Scott, as it seems like people go to prison based upon how good their lawyer is and how good what the judge and the jury thought, and is there prejudice involved? You know, Stone is an ROWG, a rich old white guy, and is there favoritism? I don't know. Both sides certainly have valid points. I think he just kind of runs his mouth too much, and sometimes you just do that to the wrong people, and you live to regret it. But I think he's built on being outspoken. That's the kind of guy that he is.
Well, like I say,
whether it's a criminal offense, you know, I don't think I know enough about it to say. I think any president will find a way to commute a sentence of a friend. I don't really fault Donald for that. I can think of a lot worse things that he could do. It's kind of hard to say, you know. I don't think Roger is a dangerous man. He's just outspoken, runs his mouth, a lot like Donald. You know, they're kind of similar in that way. And it's America; we have free speech.
But I don't think that's what he was convicted of. I think he was convicted of lying under oath to Congress.
Yeah. Well, I think if we were to arrest everybody who's done that, we would have an awful lot more people in prison. You know, look at Householder and previously Mr. Traficant. This racketeering, it seems kind of common.
Well, Traficant, I believe, did go to prison and serve a term.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it just seems like Householder is kind of one of the same kind of things. And it's just more recent. And I think in general, Householder didn't have all that controversy. You know, Traficant, everything from his hair to just the way that he spoke, and his whole life was built on controversy. And Householder, again, a bit like Roger Stone in that he's outspoken, but you're talking about theft and bribery, and he's Speaker of the House, so doesn't make our state look too good. But you're like Roger, there are so many good things about Householder, but it's all disqualified if you find out that he's essentially a thief. And that's certainly much, much worse than anything Roger's ever done, but not condoning either act for sure.
Well, again, and I don't know what Householder has done. I know what he's accused of, but I don't know exactly what he has done. He's not stepped down yet.
He's proven guilty, but not looking too good for him right now.
Well, the problem is that I don't know why we became a very suspicious society at some point, and we became so everybody's guilty. Everybody's working a scheme. And I don't know that that's the case. Now, I'm not saying that Householder's not guilty. He might be. But I want to see a trial. I want to see everybody's trial. I want to see all the evidence. I want to see what really happened. Because, you know, charges are brought against people a lot. And you have no idea what the full story is. And there have been a ton of people who have went to trial, O.J. Simpson being one of them. And again, who knows if he was guilty or innocent. The truth of the matter is he was found not guilty in a court of law. Nobody intervened, and it was a jury trial. So I think people can do okay in jury trials, but we don't wait for that anymore. We just, we make our own.
Yeah, well, the social media and this immediate gratification, that's had such an effect on it. You don't wait to pick up the paper when the paper boy delivers it at 6 in the morning. You just turn on Facebook and run your mouth. You know, I'm as guilty of that as anybody, but it's okay. It is free speech.
Well, speaking of that, I know you've been heavy duty on the whole COVID situation. Now, today's mask mandate day.
Yes, I'm afraid that it is. I mean, my county and my neighboring counties have had the mandate. Delaware just recently got it. So in looking at it, he's just extending it to all, basically making all counties red.
Right.
So the effect really isn't much. But I could see a lot going on in Marion, because Marion has never been a red county. And it certainly is a sensitive issue, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I can understand why people have an opinion on not wearing the masks, and that's fine to have that opinion, but you cannot go in and damage people's property. You cannot go to private places.
Never someone advocates that, and I do not condone that whatsoever. But you certainly can speak to people, but do it in a dignified manner. I actually did that a few days ago at a business that I go to, and he actually let me through, which was kind of interesting. But I would never do it in a violent manner. I do it in a respectful manner.
So what was the problem with the business that you went to?
I'll just defer comment maybe till later, because I didn't want to make this too controversial.
No, but you, obviously you didn't want to wear the mask.
Correct, and he let me through without it.
We'll just kind of
leave it at that. But you can ask. That's fine. But yeah, just without giving any specifics. Yes, I was allowed to go through without it. It was a kind of business where you wear it just to enter, then you take it off, which to me is completely ridiculous. But I'm not going to really comment past that.
Well, I think it's just one of those things, and
it's not going into Walmart where you wear it while you're there. The problem is people take it off. They take it off to speak. The germs get spread. But you know, you already know how I feel about that. So I'm just going to mention it on a basic level. Turning to another topic that you just taught up, one that's near and dear to both of us, is baseball. We know what I think about Rob Manfred. I don't. How is there baseball without fans? Spectator sports. If there's no spectators, I understand you can watch it on TV and you can listen on the radio. How is that even a spectator sport? I don't grasp that concept.
Well, I guess the idea was we can have nothing or we can have a modification of something.
You personally think it's better off just having nothing, or should they go ahead and just let fans in? They can socially distance fans.
I think they make a lot of money off television sponsorship, and I think if they had played nothing, they would have lost a lot of money.
Possibly. What about the rules? The baseball that I know, you don't put a runner on second base to start extra innings.
The rules have been changed. The way the season, I don't know how, like I said, I don't believe there will be a World Series or a playoff. I don't know how they'll do all that. But I think that they did what they had to do to try to be in compliance, to try to cause as few positive diagnoses of COVID that there might be, because there has been in other sports. And I think they didn't want to lose the television rights. I mean, clearly they're not concerned with paid admission at this point. They've already lost paid admission for the entire season. I think they know that, and that's the way it is. And I think that, so at this point, they are trying to at least make some money off television commercials and radio commercials that they had sold in advance. And I'm sure that will help some.
It's like sports just being a business, and it's a shame when you don't really have the national pastime. And I mean, there is money to be made. The players have to be paid. But have we gone too far to that extreme that it's just a business? Kind of a shame.
Well, I don't know. I think if there had not been television and radio rights, I don't think that they'd be playing at all.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I guess, you know, going into slight controversy, especially with the Reds, Joey Votto wearing a BLM shirt to practice, and the players taking a knee. What do you think about that?
You know,
it's only been the NFL. Now it's like all the sports, and people were just saying, well, all the professional sports are doing it.
I have no comment on that, because, you know, I think that in the midst of everything is going on, the fact that any news is covering that, the fact that that, it's like these people who came out with the guns in their house in St. Louis, the fact that that's even a story, the fact that people are wasting time talking about those things, whether they are kneeling or not kneeling, this is not the major story of the day. The major story of the day is what's going on with the pandemic, is what's going on with the protests, is all the international news. We're having big issues with China right now that we're not paying attention. We've got a presidential election going on that's being handled in a completely different way. And I think if we can't fill a newscast without dropping in something about people kneeling or not kneeling or some couple in St. Louis who pulled out guns, I don't understand it. I don't understand why we put these things on the news. You know, on a slow news day, I can see it. But we're not having slow news days anymore.
Don't you think that players should kind of keep their own politics out of it? Isn't that kind of the idea? That they're professionals on the field and, of course, they have opinions, just like Roger Stone and yourself and myself and everybody else, but
I don't think Muhammad Ali kept his opinions out of it. I don't think Jim Brown kept his opinions out of it.
It's a team sport, though. Boxing is not a team sport.
I don't think Jim Brown kept his opinions out.
Yeah. But it's like they're all doing it, though. It seems like it's mushrooming, as it never really happened.
You know what I can't understand? This is what I don't understand in general about everything. I don't understand why what other people doing makes other people so angry. Now, there are things I wouldn't do that other people are doing, but it doesn't make me angry that they're doing it, because I can't live their life. I can only live my life.
Yeah, I guess worry about yourself first, but it's like, well, if you, it gets, you know, it gets to these boycotts of businesses, like Chick-fil-A being a big one.
It's all trivial. You know, I don't care. I don't care what the fact that people are commenting on people's looks. I mean, this to me is the epitome of stupidity. I don't understand how anybody who claims to be in any kind of news business goes on any kind of program and does a story about how somebody looks. I don't understand that. That has some impact on their life. I don't get it. What impact is how somebody looks? You know, I'm tired of seeing pictures, and I'll do it both ways here. I'm tired of seeing pictures about how old and tired Joe Biden looks, and I'm tired of seeing pictures of ballooning and hair flipping up Donald Trump. What does that have to do with anything?
It's an image, though. Politicians have an image because they are public figures, especially with the social media and the immediate gratification. And with athletes, you want to respect them as people. And how does someone's respect of a great player, someone who's a Hall of Fame, first ball Hall of Famer on the field like Votto, how are people's opinions of him affected when they see him wearing a BLM shirt?
I don't know. I just think that if that's what we're basing how we choose our leaders, our sports figures, I don't think the person who makes a political statement, I don't think that affects their batting average at all.
It kind of might force the opposing team or his teammates to think differently about him. I mean, you never really know. You don't know what's going on inside the minds of these guys. So, possibly.
Well, they might not like him because he says something in the clubhouse. They might not like him.
Certainly is an interesting time right now, and one story after another. And, you know, baseball season starting, it'll be very different. Not to see people and the fans. The visiting team, they have to watch it on TV and call it from the. You probably saw that, right? They can't travel with the team. They have to watch it on TV and call it.
It's going to be interesting, and here we go. It's opening day, so we'll.
The Reds have a new broadcaster, Tommy Thrall, as you probably know, and he certainly picked up. Challenging time for his first year as the main broadcaster, and hopefully he'll do well. I mean, it doesn't have an easy job with the hand that he's been dealt.
No, but I think broadcasters will become awful important now, since there are no spectators.
Just try to get Roger back on, because he certainly would be a great guest, and I'm sure he'll understand that you will throw questions at people. You're an interviewer, and he's a very smart man. He will find an answer.
Well, we will definitely see what happens as we go down the road.
That's all I have for you, Scott. You have a nice day, and stay cool.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Adam the Computer Guy. By the way, the Adam the Computer Guy show does air today, 2 to 3 p.m. on this station. All right, phone lines are open 40 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. By the way, we do want to send out birthday wishes to our naturalist here in Marion, often guest on this program, James Anderson. Happy birthday today, James. I know you're an avid listener of this program. I appreciate that. So a big happy birthday to you. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. You know, I don't understand a lot of this. I don't understand. You know, we had a conversation yesterday during the on-the-air program with Glenn Coble about this couple in St. Louis with the guns. Okay, I don't understand why that's a story. I'm not coming down on either side of that. I understand they've been charged now. I understand the Attorney General of that state wants to get the charges removed. But I don't understand why it's a story. For the life of me, I cannot understand. Thank goodness nobody was shot, nobody was killed, nobody was hurt. Why has this become a story that has divided people? People feel so strongly about that particular story, and I'm kind of confused because it involves such a small group of people in a small area. You know, we have things going on here in our own state right now that are affecting thousands of people in Ohio. Why do we care what a couple and a few protesters in St. Louis, Missouri did? What is that? That to me is an aberration. That is a news aberration. And I also don't understand why we're talking about people's looks. That to me is very strange. You know, it used to be we chose the president by the person we liked the most. Will you say the person you wanted to go have a beer with? I don't know what that has to do with their looks. I really don't. It's beyond me. Some of the things that people, and I, to be honest with you, we have been talking about people taking a knee. We have been talking about protesting. We have been talking about all that for so long now. I mean, how long has this been going on? 3-4 years? I mean, at some point, can't we just, I'm not even sure really in general why it's still a thing. You know, if we would stop covering it, people would stop talking about it. You know, the majority of people are not at these games. And I doubt very much that people know that these people have this on their jerseys. I think the more we talk about it, the more people know and the angrier people get. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it. I think giving light to that sort of thing is a little trivial. I think we need to be talking to more doctors. I think we need to be talking to more nurses. I think we need to be talking to more people who've been affected by the pandemic. We need to talk to people who make masks and what are their effectiveness and the best way to wear them, and talk to people who know what's going on with the economy. I think this whole idea about what things that don't matter to a hill of beans are not life and death. We got life and death things going on right now. So the trivial things, the cosmetic things, are going to have to wait for a second. But I could be wrong. And if you feel differently or you want to chime in. We've got 18 minutes left. 740-383-9944. I guess 17 minutes left. 43 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you've got anything on your mind. Because this is a station where we want to hear your opinions. That's the whole point. Let's see. What did we talk about yesterday? Oh, you know something? When we were over at Duncan on Tuesday with Ted Williams, we were there for 4 hours, and we talked a lot about a lot of subjects. And one of the subjects we actually got into with Ted while we were over at... let's take the phone call here. I think this is important. Here we go. Go ahead, caller.
You're on the air.
There we go. The one thing that I think a lot of people want to talk about, why they want to talk about that couple in Missouri, is that a lot of people are afraid of their gun rights being taken away. And I think the main issue is that...
We're kind of losing you. We're kind of losing you there. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little better. Just talk a little louder.
All right. So I think the one thing that... Can you hear me now? Is this good?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay. I think the one thing that people... Why they want to talk about that couple in Missouri is because they are so worried about... which I am too. They're fear-mongered, I guess. They're worried about their gun rights being taken away. And what would happen if that would happen is that if somebody were to break into their home, what would happen to them? What would happen to their family, their property, their livelihood, their lives themselves? I think that's why people get so bent out of shape about it. I'm one of them. I don't think it should be a story. I don't think the couple should have been charged. I just think they were simply defending their property and possibly their lives. I mean, if you had somebody break into... If you're at a store and you're in a back office and somebody breaks through the front door and they're making their way over to your office, would you not grab something to defend yourself? I certainly would. But I think that's why people want to talk about it. It's because they have an issue with possibly their rights being taken away, therefore their ultimate defense to protect themselves and their lives and their families and their property.
Well, you know, I'm okay. You know, the gun rights issue, we've been having this conversation since the beginning of time, and I think everybody has their own opinion. What it puzzles me is during the pandemic that we're in, during the protests that are going on, I just don't know why. I mean, and the debate over right to bear arms is a fine one to have, and I'm sure we're going to have it at some point during this presidential election. But the fact... And thank goodness nobody was killed in this, nobody was hurt on either side. The fact that this happened, the passion that story brings out in people really does baffle me. I'm not saying people shouldn't be passionate about the right to bear arms. They certainly can be. But what the passion of should this couple have come out and were the protesters knocking over their fence and doing this thing, you know, I bet you could go to any city on the face of the earth right now and find a much heinous... I mean, my goodness, there was a dead body found in Marion yesterday. There's no dead body in that case in Missouri. Why is that more known? Look at Chicago right now. Federal agents are marching into Chicago because of people being hurt and murdered in that city. We don't cover every one of those like that. Why was that a story?
I think it was just significant to other people. They are fearful. A lot of people can be fearful of their government, especially when it comes to a federal level. And I think the media just explodes that because a lot of our main media, Fox News included, CNN included, all those main media sites want to feed off that fear. That's how they get their views. So they go to the one thing that they know will spark a fire and a debate with everybody, and everybody will share their stories, and the writers who wrote the stories, and they just talk about this and they go on about it. They talk to this person or interview that person. I think it's mainly just the media blowing it out of proportion.
Well, it could be. I just hope that the media eventually gets to the idea that it's not about being first, and there are people who still live and die by that. You know, nobody cares if you're first or not. That's an old newspaper thing. Broadcast media should have never lived and died by that. And I'm not sure why it still does today. People need to be more concerned with getting the story right than getting it first?
I think the main issue you get with the big media is that they're all about the money. Their CEOs and their corporate people are all about what are our numbers at, and they pretend like they're looking at proactive goals for progress, for positive progress, when in fact it's down to the numbers. They only care about the numbers. Are we progressing? Are we getting more views? Are we getting more advertisements? What kind of company are we making? What companies are we making deals with? How can we make more money? How can we get more people to watch our news broadcast? I think that's what it's all about when it comes down to. So that's probably why they have that first news or first to report the news kind of mentality. And I agree with you. I don't think they should. I think it should be simply about what the facts are and what's actually going on and what's important.
But, you know, it's just logically, it makes no sense. Because, okay, if you're obviously listening to this station right now. Okay,
yeah.
Let's say that right now another station in town broke in with a news story. Now, you didn't hear it. Because you were listening to this station, and when they announced it, within 10 minutes, it's going to be on the internet, and we're going to be announcing it, and you're going to hear it here, and you're going to think you heard it here first because you were listening to this station, and you did hear it here first because this is what you were listening to. Nobody's going to come call you on the phone and say, boy, did you hear 10 minutes ago that the other radio station broke this story, and you need to flip the dial over there to listen to that? That doesn't happen. That was a newspaper thing where they had to get circulation up, so getting the story first for them was important, because if they had the story and another newspaper didn't, they sold more newspapers. Broadcast, it's not important.
I think it's a matter of they just don't care about it. All they care about really is the numbers. It's just like for instance, let's talk about the Marion Star. The Marion Star has moved on from, in the last 9 years, I have seen the Marion Star move on from local stories to now they want to talk about what's going on in the rest of the country. The state, I guess, would be local news. But a lot of the times, majority of the time, I see them writing up stories about what's going on in the rest of the world. And some of it, it's on the front page of the newspaper. And I don't think that's how it should be. I think media should stick to, newspapers should stick to local stories. Local newspapers should stick to local stories. And I think that big news media outlets should stick to what's important and not what's going to spark a fire. They need to report what they want to talk about.
Well, it's fascinating because the one thing about certainly the Star, I would say, and there are some good stories in the Star, so I don't want to group them all in this way, but I have noticed that there tends to be, and there was one recently that I'm trying to I do know what it was, but I'm not going to say it because it involves something that's still going on in town, but something, I have seen the Star, if you used to read the Marion Star, it was just the facts. And that's what the headline was, just the facts. And that's what the story gave you, and that's what a good print outlet does. Now, lately, look at the headlines sometimes. The headlines are very sensational. If you didn't read the story, you would think that something horrible happened. If you actually read the story, it's not that way at all. And I don't know why that's happening. I don't know if that's to grab more views. I don't know what that is. But that to me is a sensationalism that's very unfortunate because it doesn't help the people get any more informed.
Yeah, and I would agree. I can definitely tell you that it's probably just to get more views and sell more papers because the media, Marion Star, is turning into sort of just like the mainstream media. They want to come up with the biggest title for the story that's going to get turned the most heads. It doesn't matter how it says it. It doesn't matter. They're not going to use the facts. They're going to twist that title around so it turns more heads and gets them to pay attention to me, to them. You know, it's sort of like I'm the Marion Star and I'm just like, oh, hey, look at here, look at how I got this title. This, look at me, look at this story. It's, I guarantee you, it's probably to get more views or readers to buy their papers.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and I don't know why it has gotten to that. It's very unfortunate to a high level. Now, did you ever have a subscription to the Marion Star? Do you keep it up?
I used to have a subscription to their online there, I think it was 2 years ago. I had it for about 3 years, and then I just stopped subscribing for it. I just got uninterested in it. They stopped reporting the facts and started paying attention to all these other stories and not getting down to the nitty-gritty truth. And I'm an honest person. I want to call it like I see it. I want to know the facts. I don't want to see the smoke and mirrors. I don't want to see the deception. I want to know what the straight, cold, hard facts are. Don't care if I don't like them or not. I want to know what they are.
Now, when you read an article in a local newspaper, do you believe it 100% or do you take it with a grain of salt?
I guess it really depends on the source, how the story is read out or written out, I guess. If it seems like it's believable, sure, I'll believe it. Like I said, that comes with the source. If it's like the Marion Star, just like CNN and Fox News, I always have to, any title I read with them, a story I hear about when I watch their news broadcast, I take everything with a giant grain of salt with them because it could be diluted or convoluted with their stories, with the way that they produce their titles for the stories to turn heads, because at this point they're about greed and they're about numbers. Just same thing with newspapers. I take everything I read with a grain of salt, just because I know that there's always two sides to a story, especially when somebody isn't reporting just the facts. If they're reporting just the facts, doesn't matter whose side of the story it is. The facts are the facts. So,
it's interesting. Well, I certainly appreciate you calling in this morning and giving your opinion on this.
No problem, Scott. It's my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. Busy morning here this morning. Phone lines are open. Remember, if the phone lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back. 4 minutes left in the program today. On the Air with Glenn Coble comes up today, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then we have Swap Shop today from 12:10 to 1 p.m. And mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp from 2 until 3 today here on this station. Stay tuned for all those great programming programs. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say. July 23rd, 2020. And again, just for the edification of the audience at this point, the mask mandate does go into effect tonight at 6 p.m. Thursday, 6 p.m. for everyone 10 and older. Now, do remember that there are some exemptions to this. If you have a medical condition or a disability, or those communicating with someone with a disability, you are exempt. Those who are actively exercising or playing sports are exempt. Those who are officiants at religious services are exempt. Those who are actively involved in public safety are exempt. And those who are actively eating and drinking are exempt from the mask order. Now, we had Tracy Kinsler on yesterday from the Marion Public Health Department, and remember, this is not a law. It's a mandate. And the police will not be coming to arrest anybody who does not have a mask on, as she said. I don't even know that they'll cite you at this point the way it goes. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. This is Brenda.
Hey.
You know why? If a group of white people were walking by that family's house in Missouri in a protest headed to the mayor, those two would not have left their home with guns and stood in front of them and passively, aggressively threatened these black people because of what they were doing. So I disagree with you wholeheartedly on how you feel about this not being new. But I know we don't have a lot of time to discuss it, but it's a shame. And yeah, it should be news.
Well, I tell you, my feeling on why it shouldn't be news is that it just mystifies me that story. And again, whoever you believe is right. If you believe the protesters were right, if you believe the couple was right who had the guns, you know, everybody has it's a free world. People can have their opinion on that either way. My feeling on it is I just can't understand when we have a pandemic going on, when we have protests going on in our own state. Right, and we have protests going on in our own state, and we have statues coming down, and we have things changing names that affect
all over the country.
And it affects national. It affects the national awareness. A presidential election. You know, people in Ohio will vote in that. That's
sure.
A national story. I don't understand why the couple in St. Louis continues to be a national story. I'm not sure why it was a national story to begin with. And thank goodness nobody was hurt in the matter. That's, you know, for the protesters or the couple.
The interest is dying down in that story. It's not front page like it was when it happened. The fact is that it shouldn't have been done in the first place. It's a very polarizing conversation we're having with race right now, and it's a shame that it happened. But it should be put out there that this is what happens to Black lives, and it shouldn't happen, and it's shameful that couple was acting that way.
Well, you know, I thank you for it. We're out of time, but I thank you for, maybe we can discuss this more tomorrow. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow 8 a.m. until 1 tomorrow, and we'll have a lot of open phone lines. And I think it's a discussion worth having, because whatever opinion you have, I appreciate anybody who calls in and gives it on this station, because that's why we're here. Education and information. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And I'm out of here. Glenn Coble will be on in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned.
And the grand prize game. Oh, my goodness. How could we ever forget that?
Yeah. I would drive the my producer crazy sometimes. We always had to start with the same thing, which was, are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes? And, of course, the audience would yell yes. And then I would have to go in with the same line. Well, get ready, because it's now time to play Bozo's Grand Prize. Well, one day, I don't know, I was feeling devilish, and I went, are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes? And the audience went, yeah! And I went, well, what about my needs?